We just hang up. Well, he'll call right back.
Yeah, call right back. We're just going to do
it. We're going over a little tonight, but that's okay. We like to.
We need to go over. Oh, there he is. Okay,
put him on. Pick it up. Hi, CKLM.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. What does Bob enhance? Bob enhances my slack, my gaining of complete and total slack, and regaining it from the people who stole it from me over the years.
That's a correct statement. I think we could make that a scientific. We could hold a press conference, you and I, tomorrow, and make that a scientific statement. You know,
it really provides me a meaning for my existence and a certain respect, I suppose, in order to survive the day-to-day tribulations of having to deal with tanks.
That's what I obsolesce then. The tribulation.
Exactly.
What do I retrieve? I mean, am I retrieving slack? I enhance slack, but what do I retrieve that was obsolete a long time ago?
What do you retrieve? Yeah. Well, there is nothing to retrieve except the slack itself, because everything is slack in the truest sense of the word. So what is there possibly to retrieve?
Very good question. Very good answer. Now, that means when pushed to extreme, I flip into more slack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the fact is, it's necessary not to become one with the slack, but in order to become not two with the slack, to not see the slack outside of yourself, but to see yourself as total slack.
You should be a professional subgenius, buddy.
I think that's what I do for a living, as a matter of fact.
Well, listen, if you have anything else to talk about, or why don't you come down and see Bob?
I'm seeing Bob right at the present time, because I'm sitting here watching something on television, and what could be more Bob?
That's right.
In a postmodern sense, if you will.
Well, in Understanding Media by McLuhan, he defines TV as the timid giant. That's definitely what I am, the timid giant.
Exactly.
Well, you're pretty perceptive. Keep up the good work, and we'll welcome any more input in the future.
We try our best.
Thanks for calling us.
Good night.
Well, another
perceptive
person. I think Bob, what that person was talking about was the phenomenon known as hyper slack, where you go beyond slack and you go into hyper slack. And what else? He mentioned something else I wanted to follow through on.
That it gives him a break. Well, he does have the tribulation every day. I mean, it doesn't seem as slack and lasts forever. It comes to him when he gets back home, when he's watching TV or listening to the radio. He has that electric conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
He's discarnate.
Mm-hmm.
He's forced to use his body, and I guess that's the slackless state during the day.
Yeah.
Whenever he works. We have another one. Let's take
this. Okay, let's go to the phones. Hi, CKLM.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Bob?
Yeah. I was just with the question that you posed earlier. I was saying I had recently, I think, heard whoever it is. But I think what you're doing is you're giving a bit out. But I'm not too sure necessarily. Well, at least for me, it's not too clear. Of course, I don't think it would be.
So you say I'm giving out, but I'm not taking in?
No. What I'm saying is that from what you're giving out, at least for me, it's not clear to give back anyway.
Right, to reciprocate back to me.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't a desirable condition to be in, because we don't know until you know whether you should directly give something back to me.
Yeah.
Because that would be quite an effect on you. I mean, if I see myself in a movie and I cause an earthquake, then just think of what happens to other subgeniuses when they meet me, which is the basic essence of yourself.
Yeah.
So if you don't know how to reciprocate to me, that's okay. It'll take a while, but I guarantee you will know someday, and you will reciprocate with me.
Yeah, well, I'm getting what you're saying. Most of it is just that with all the terms that you're using and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, is that the terms aren't important. I do try to communicate beyond language. Mike, you want to say something there? Okay. No, the point is the language is not important, because that's just one medium, the verbal medium. I communicate in post-verbal and pre-verbal media, and you are picking up on that.
Yeah.
If you're not too skilled on the terms, don't worry about it. That's not even important.
Yeah, because like I've been jotting down with a few of the stuff that you've been using as reference. I don't know if it's important or not, but well, just basically that I think what you're saying is pretty hip.
Yeah, that's right. It is hip. There's no doubt about that. And but keep jotting it down and just put it aside. And as Captain Beefheart said, he recommended to listen to his music while you're vacuuming,
yeah,
or doing dishes. That's the jotting. What you're jotting down is a parallel activity, but it's not major importance. But keep doing it, because it'll retrieve and be important at some point when you use your eyes and look at those notes.
Yeah, like I'm trying to be a receptacle, but not too much.
Well, you're a very clever person.
Well, all right, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, listener.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is quite exciting, Bob. We've never had such a really open, receptive audience as we have tonight. Often we have to plead for calls, or we have friends call. My personal friends who phone out of sympathy for me.
But these are, as we go further into the final turn, and I'd like to say that we are going around the final turn. The problem is that we've gone off the track.
Yeah. What this listener has called about, again, is a point that's come up in the past. I remember a few weeks ago, we'll get to the phones.
We'll get you, buddy.
Our operator's just very busy right now, where I brought up the point, and I said it sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I think maybe it's true, that sometimes we alienate our listeners, our first-time listeners especially, who come to this and they're feeling lost. They don't know how they can, you know, integrate themselves into the church community, and so I think there is that sense of, you know, searching, wanting to embrace it all at once. You really can't. That other caller on your recorded answering machine referred to my transformation, which took a long time, and I was very patient and willing, and I still have a long way to go, and you have to acknowledge that. I still don't understand a lot of what you say, but I nod my head knowingly like a little dog. And
you know you can understand.
Yes, I know that, and I think that's very important. So just to follow through on that, listener, so let's go back to the phone. Hi, C. Carolyn.
You're on.
What is up?
I disconnected. That one's on now.
Is it?
That's flashing.
Hello, C. Callan? Hi, C. Callan. Okay.
Let's fix this up. See what happened.
Well, you put it on the next spot. Okay. Anyways, yeah, we'll come back. Let's just take one more call, I think, because
we couldn't get you for some reason. Call back if you were the
one. Okay, just one more call, Bob.
Yeah, one more. Yeah, we've gone over,
and then we'll play our theme music to go out.
But I've always said, when you brought up the point of alienating the audience, is that the proper subgenius growth is 1.3. You don't want to double your figures or triple immediately. You have to only have 1/3% growth every time. Let's try this again. We have another caller.
I see Callan.
Hi. Bob, I was wondering if you might be frank with us this evening and talk a little bit, if you would, about the dangers of Bob and the Church of the Subgenius.
Well, there are many dangers. Which ones? Do you want me to elucidate some new dangers, or what?
Well, no, I do have one particular one in mind. There's the danger of inoculating churches, or pardon me, subgeniuses, and possibly pinks as well, against the very message that's being preached by the Church of the Subgenius. I was wondering if you could comment on that possible effect.
Are you talking? You're not talking about the Church of the Subgenius put out by Reverend Snang in the book, are you?
Well, no, I'm just talking about the relationship between the ideas that you espouse and the subgenius ideas as well.
Well, okay, the subgenius ideas, you mean the ones that have been put out in the bookstores?
Yeah.
Right, okay, so you're saying the problem of relating my claims with the claims of that book.
Well, yeah, and also just the problem of inoculating people against the idea. See, if they get a little bit of the idea, but not the entire idea at once, they may be less receptive later for the whole.
Yes, but since I'm the chairman of the Secret Council 10, I'm pretty well in a responsible, charge-filled position for many thousands of years to come, so we do have a lot of time for people to see and recover their awareness of what we're originally trying to do.
So the continuity will take care of these problems.
That's right. There's no way that my work is going to be stopped. So we expect, as a matter of fact, the book talks about there should be rebellion against my work. There should be counter-churches, misinformed churches set up. So we expect reactions that are erroneous, because they're necessary to have as a counter-environment to keep my work continuing.
But you're assuming that they're erroneous.
That's right. We won't know until the end time. That's what makes me Bob and you're not, because I have full confidence in what I'm doing, right? I'm not saying that as an egomaniac. It's just a fact that gives me the confidence to do it. But I acknowledge that things have to unfold at their own rate and own pace, and therefore a lot of confusion will happen. But I accept that responsibility, and it is dangerous for me only up to a point. I mean, I cannot be harmed anymore.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your honesty.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. Bye.
Well,
this is exhilarating. I really get off on this sort of stuff, Bob. This is real radio.
Yeah. This is community radio.
Let's stop it there, I think, for tonight. And perhaps you're going to be around, aren't you, till the end of the show?
Yeah, if anybody wants to call on what's
the other line. Yeah, 595-1478, just because it's a better line to talk on while we're here.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming down again this week. And
thank you for having me, Mike. And
it's always a pleasure.
That last question was very important. We're always trying to explain the difference between Stang and me. And I did visit Reverend Stang, the author of that book, earlier, when was it, October 28th about. And he agreed in my presence, in Connie's presence there in Dallas, that I was the real Bob. He was corrected. He said he realizes that the Bob that's pictured in all the decals and book covers around the world is not the way Bob looks anymore. If you want to have an approximation, it looks like Tom Waits.
Yes.
The thing is that he admitted that, yes, I was Bob, and he broadcast that fact on the air. So there's been repentance of the church, and that is part of the shift that's happened since the X's have landed earlier this year. So we do have some earthquakes on all levels happening. And a lot more confusion is going to happen. The 90s will be a time of incredible confusion. As a matter of fact, if you're a real subgenius, you're going to really dig the confusion, because it'll give you more opportunities.
And as one of our, we sounded like a young caller said, you know, what's happening now is very hip. And I think that's an appropriate word as well.
Yeah, and that's not plastic surgery.
No, we're talking hip.
More in flesh.
My name is Michael Dyer. You're listening to CKLN FM 88.1. We're wrapping up this segment of The Church of the Subgenius with Bob Dobbs. You'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I've been impressed with the church response. And
yeah, it's been fantastic. So let's do this again, shall we?
Yeah, we'll open up the phones when we can.
Okay, let's go to our theme music, Bob.
Good night.
The worst date we've ever had.
Crazy.
Vous écoutez CKLN FM 88,1 Toronto.
All participants are now unmuted.
Unmute everybody.
Hello.
I have a knocker.
Did you guys
hear? I have a knocker.
Okay.
I just went to Doobes.
Go ahead.
I just went to Doobes,
yeah.
And Manitou River made a post, "The Moron Who Must Be Isolated," and cites Ion and Bob briefly talk about Donald Trump on a recording posted recently by Ed at Ion and Bob. And she says there's a special sandwich being offered just for the event at a local deli, which is Trump is speaking in Burlington, Vermont, and it's the Donald Bologna on white bread. Bologna on white bread sandwich, and there's no mayo.
Yeah, that's good. That's relating.
Yeah.
Here's what struck me. Okay, we were talking about the earthquake, the burden of the earthquake for 17 years, 71 to 88. We're listening to November 30th, 88, and an earthquake, the fucking earthquake happened there.
Yeah.
You know, a few days earlier.
Right.
We just found out. We didn't know it happened. Or I don't know how you figure this out, but we're talking about the earthquake. I'm carrying around, and then they're saying, "My God, there was an earthquake in Toronto." It's never had earthquakes after the laws of media came out, and after whatever else happened that week. And then I watched that movie where I think it's probably Down by Law. The Tom Waits movie is one called. He plays a radio DJ. That's right. He fucking plays a radio DJ. So you got the earthquake happens. That right synced in with what we've been talking about. And then you hear me say, I'll be around for thousands of years. Remember I said don't worry, we'll figure this out. And then later I go, I was here before everything. I go, pre-something. That's O'Fennell talking. And then there was the tetrad. What's the tetrad? Bob enhances slack. I don't know what he obsolesces, but he retrieves slack, and it flips into hyper slack. Wasn't that what the tetrad was?
Yeah.
It was all slack.
The obsolescence of pinks. The obsolescence.
Yeah. Obsolescence of pinks. Yeah. That is pretty – there were 4 points. The living 1,000 years in the future, way back before anything began – and the earthquake and the tetrad. That is an amazing – that's an amazing show there, November 30th, 1988. And at the end there, the music at the end, that was one of Dave's first compositions because he had just started composing stuff that year, 1988. And so he'd make these new things and we could play them on the show. We were his outlet. And he goes on to cause a revolution in Canadian music. But that was an early Neufeld song. It was an inside job. Talk about a conspiracy. Neufeld calls in, enhances the bigger ground shit. Then I don't know who that other guy is. Probably a parallel world and calls in. He talks about the tetrad. Mike couldn't believe it. Mike said, "Oh my God, I love this, Bob. This is really real. This is real, Bob."
Yeah, you've got Zenocrates going on with this call here and then that show there. It's all overlapping each other, so it might be confusing.
Yes.
Trying to point out, you know, our little epiphanies with the overall.
Yeah, that's right.
That
you know,
it's always that way. You can't explain. You had to be there.
Yeah.
It is. It's multi. Oh, it's a page of fitting his weight. Yeah, you know, different parts of the intestines are touching each other.
Yeah, there's no time and space. It's all rubbing up against each other. And
so, what? Any you guys notice anything I didn't notice?
Hyper slack.
You gave another explanation of how you communicate. That you communicate on pre and post verbal media.
Oh yeah, that was ionic. That was ion. You know, ion communicates pre something. Wait, what was it?
Pre-verbal and post-verbal.
And post-verbal. That's
ion. Paraverbal.
Yes. We didn't say that, but that's what it would be. You'd add paraverbal. That was a heavy... And remember, I just come back from a Bob tour, so it was a pretty powerful show. You know, pretty built up. I had to phone in one night somewhere in there on a Sunday morning to maybe Mike, because they had fundraising, and we had to participate in fundraising. You have to participate. You're not allowed to miss it. So we had to phone in from California.
So you're getting your listeners, a lot of listeners calling in and leaving messages on the recorder, but I wonder what other effects listeners had that you hadn't heard from. You know, it's almost a good
question.
What
happened to those guys?
Right.
Yeah, what happened to that guy? Either of those strange guys that called in, you know, what happened to them?
Well, one strange guy's on your payroll.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I guess there was only one strange guy. There was only George with the disciple one, the guru one, and then Neufeld, and then. But weren't there two guys at the end there? Two different guys? They were kind of similar.
Yes.
Yeah,
one guy
was
really new to Tetrad. The first guy knew a lot about the Tetrad, but the other guy just had gloves.
And the last guy knew a lot about he was actually working for Stang. He wanted to see what I would say. He was implying that I was fucking up the Church of Subgenius book. And now here, I have just made, this is monumental because a month before, in October 16th, Neufeld's birthday, I made a major prediction. I predicted the reunification of Germany, which nobody was saying. The only other psychic or anything that was said was the Evergreens. They had said 6 months earlier in a newsletter that the Berlin Wall would go down. And I don't know if I had seen that newsletter, but I was going on my Beter communications. Beter talked about way back in 1982, West Germany made a deal with the new local faction in Russia that kicked out the Bolsheviks, who took over the Pentagon. There was a deal between Western Germany and the new Russian elite, and this was in 82, that Germany would be reunited. And no one ever thought that they'd be reunited. But that idea was in my head for 6 years. You know what I mean? So that's where I got it. I didn't get it from the Evergreen. And then events. And remember, on the way back, we were in Maryland, Halloween night, and I watched LaRouche do an address. He was running for president, and he talked about the Berlin Wall, and in his odd jargonistic way was predicting something would have changed drastically in Germany. So he could almost predict it. He didn't get particular, but his cult would promote that later. But I saw that broadcast in Washington after being with Mrs. Beter. So that's a key thing going on there. I'm chairman of Secret Council 10. That happened in March 88. Oh, yeah, I wanted to say this. So in the spring and summer of 89, three biographies come out. Dennis King's Muckraking of LaRouche, The Rise of American Fascism or something, and book on LaRouche, detailed. Then Philip Marchand's book on McLuhan came out, The Medium and the Messenger, and Zappa's autobiography came out. So you had Zappa, McLuhan, LaRouche right there in the middle of 89, and then the wall collapsed. And it happened on my father's birthday. June 4th was when Tiananmen Square happened. That's a date you'll see that they give a date, you know, that's the focal date. Did you hear today? I'm talking about my father.
Yes, it's amazing, you know, how you remember all these details.
Well, to be honest, I don't stop thinking about them.
Well,
I'm always thinking about my life and all I don't remember this show, but once I start hearing it, it triggers all kinds of memories.
I'm looking at actually a photo of your dad right now.
Yes, were you standing there on the beach or something?
He's at a picnic outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the woman's
dead. He's dead within a year
of that photo. But what I want to say is,
you know who that woman is?
No.
Bert, that woman is his boss. That's an aristocratic woman.
Really? All right, so you're going to laugh.
Yeah, look at her.
This.
Look closely at her.
She looks like Carolyn.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at her eyes.
Yeah.
She bears a striking resemblance to Carolyn.
Where's the photo, Bar?
And it's the.
I think it's Ian and Bob. Oh, Ian and Bob. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a very. If you look at that woman. She's nice. She's young. I mean, she's not young. She's like 90 years old, but she's an aristocrat, you know, pretty enlightened. And she has that youthful vibe, which makes you think of Carolyn.
Yeah, well, her eyes and her eyebrows.
Right. And she's the wife of the oligarch that we were living with for 300 years.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, the oligarchy family. Yeah, we were butler. We were butler. What's funny there, Roxy?
That you said you were living there for 300 years.
Yeah, that, we have to correct that, don't we? I don't mean it the Ion way, but I'm saying that our family, you know, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, worked for this family, this very powerful oligarch, for 300 years. And that's the latest, they call it the Fondi. The Fondi is the nest egg. That is the wealth, the banking credit gold wealth that the family name has, and the lawyers manage it, and the people who are members of the family are extraneous. They come and they go. They can be killed, fired, poisoned. It's the Fondi, the nest egg, the lump of wealth, money wealth, that is the Fondi. That's the fund. And so she's just the latest benefactor while she's alive. But if she fucks up, they kill her and someone else gets it in the blood relations. But I like that picture.
Yeah, it's a good picture. it looks 70s.
What do you pick up about my father? Some people say he looks. No, that's 75.
75, okay. Yeah.
My father's dead within a year of that. If you look at him, he's like crotchety. He's bent on an angle. He's sort of got bad posture, bad aching bones. Can you tell that? You see how he's kind of standing there crooked?
It could just be.
Yeah, but it makes me think he looks like he's standing on a hill. That's what makes him look
right.
A little.
And he's trying to.
Yeah,
he's trying to.
I know.
He's trying to. Oh.
Yeah, but I know the situation. Yes, he's standing on a hill, and you could say it's that way. But I know there's another picture where he has the pipe, and he's behind the car door. And I don't think that got posted. There's a second one, and he even looks not as good there. But the point is that the woman is pretty well his age, but she looks like 55 or something.
Yeah,
maybe even younger.
They both look pretty youthful,
but
to be honest.
Yes, they do.
Okay, I don't see. Well, my father is 93 there. Hey, my age right now. Hey, what do you think of that? There's another nice. Yeah, he's my age there. Yeah, he's born in 1882. And he'd be 90 in 93. He died in 76 when he was 94. So, yeah, in 75, he was 93.
Wow.
And I don't look like that.
No, the image I have of you, Bub, you're in your wetsuit crashing through the waves, you know, and that's...
Yes.
That's the image I have.
Yeah, I don't even... I don't know where I am in that scene. I don't really remember it. We just found that lately. It could be someone else took it. You know, that I may not have been there.
Mm.
I'm not even sure where it is.
They're both smiling and looking at the camera. It looks like it could be an advertisement for some sort of picnic food.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a well-framed
There's
shot.
Now here's the other. There's another person in that picture, my mother, but we don't let that image out.
Oh, okay. It's like a Chevy Impala in the back.
Sir Paul, beg your pardon?
Like a classic Chevy Impala in the background. The Chevrolet, the car.
Is there two pictures?
It's hidden by the bushes, but it looks like a Chevy Impala classic.
What part of Dupes is this on? What's the topic?
No, this was on, this is at Ian and Bob.
Oh, Ian and Bob. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ian and Bob. So that's, what do you call it? How do you bring it up?
Who is Bob and Ian? Who is Bob and who is Ian?
So I go to Bob and Ian, he's got the date, November 22nd, 63. Why would that come up? Where are we?
It's a movie.
January.
It's a movie ad he has posted, just posted.
Well, that's the day Kennedy gets killed. It's a movie about that?
Yeah. It's about some guy going back and trying to prevent the assassination. That's what the ad said.
Okay. So do I go to the bottom to get this? Is this in the orange list at the bottom?
I guess you have to search.
Yeah, I did a search, Bob.
Yeah, what is it? Bob and Bob.
Who is
dad.
Bob? Who is Bob and who is Ion?
Do a search just through Google.
Hey, what do you think of that picture of me and Carol in this magazine, September 90? Look at that. You ever look at that picture closely?
That's a wonderful
picture. Scroll what I'm looking at. Yeah, you see what's happening. I'm holding LaRouche, and she's holding McLuhan. I got Dope Ink, and she's got Laws of Media. And we're hiding. So I'm scrolling down, and it didn't come to the picture. So where's the Bob, Ion, and who is Ion?
Who is Bob and who is Ion? Actually, if you just Google search who is Bob and who is Ion, about the fifth link down, it goes to the page.
Well, I just put in who is Ion, and up comes the Keto's Guide to Payday. Do you guys get that?
I did get that, yeah. I would.
Such a nicely organized, such a greatly organized site. Very amazing what he's done.
Yeah.
Who is Ion?
If you
and
Google
you write,
who is Bob
and who is Bob
and who is Ion?
Google.
Yeah.
I'm doing the search down in the center in the site.
Well, if you scroll down to almost the bottom of the page, you should see who is the article, and then that's.
Oh, it is there at the list of orange titles?
Yeah, if you go way below Aikido stuff, down toward the bottom of the page, you'll see that circle photo with you and Carolyn and all your colors.
Yeah.
And that's the article. So if you go a little further down, you'll see your dad's photo.
See, it's not on the page I'm getting. I get Aikido's Guide to Payday, Memo to Prince Charles. Bob
all the way down to almost the bottom.
Yeah, there's James Joyce Finnegan's Wake, right? Ion's Wake. Bob's Payday Notes.
You're almost there.
I don't think I'm getting the same Payday Notes. And it's not there. Maybe I'll go
keep
to the next
down.
Page.
Did you go all the way to the bottom?
I've gone down. Yeah. Oh, it says read more. No, that would be...
No.
Read more might show it. No, it's not coming up. Not there. I just get these Payday Notes, November 22nd, 2014. You get that?
Yeah, that's part of that comes up in the search results.
Yeah. So tell me how to find it. Give me another title.
Well, are you doing ampersand or are you writing out AND?
I put who is Ion.
Well, type in who is Bob. Ampersand, who is Ion?
Oh, okay. I don't imagine this is riveting to an audience who can't see what we're looking at. Oh, we're in the trough. This is the up and down. You can't have constant excitement. You have to have a down and up, the wave. So it's got a lot of Aikido, Payday Chat, James Joyce. Ah, there it is. Okay. Yeah. Now, what do we... okay, that oh, there's a car back there. I don't know what that is. You think that's a late 60s car?
It might be CIA or FBI.
Bodyguard. You see, if you look at the woman, she's tight and tapered. She has a bit of Puritanism in her face. Proper woman, but happy because she never had to work a day in her life. You know what I mean? She's relatively
She looks
pure,
fit.
But she's fit. She actually was a painter. And my father's leaning back. He looks weird.
He's trying to hold the camera equipment up on his stomach.
Right. Look at his thin legs.
Yeah, he was a thin guy.
Yeah. Yep. So, people say he looks like me. Do you see that? I don't see that.
A bit of a smile, yeah. His smile looks like yours. You have the same sort of facial features.
Nah.